We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, we welcome you to another day of Exploring the Word, another day on the American Family Radio Network where we look at the Scripture, and we're going to continue looking at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians, we've been in for a while, but, you know, Bert, I love church history, so I've got to point out a little bit of church history if I could. Yesterday, Sunday, was around the world, many, many churches celebrated Pentecost Sunday. But really today, May 20th is considered by many to be the traditional date of Pentecost. Now, Pentecost was an annual celebration by the Jewish people, but in Acts chapter 2, Peter preached that great inaugural sermon of the church age. 3,000 were saved. And Bert, we need another Pentecost today, don't we? But today's a very significant day, Christian friend, because the beginning of the church age, which I believe we're still in, although it may be near the conclusion, but a very significant inaugural day in the history of the church some 2,000 years ago.
You know, in those time frames, a lot of things change. You know, there's this song, "A Baby Changes Everything," and we know Jesus changed everything. But the Holy Spirit coming, falling in power on the church at Pentecost changed everything as well. Those men that were filled and those women, they changed the world. And so we're living in that, in that age, and we are praying, Lord, may we sense your presence. We don't need the falling of the Holy Spirit. He's already fallen. He's come. He's birthed the church. But we need to be filled with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, and letting the Spirit have its way. Matter of fact, in the chapter that we're studying in Ephesians, now we're not there, but since you brought that up, I think it's a good segue in chapter 5, verse 18. Do not be drunk with wine, which is this debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Alex, we need the filling of the Spirit in Christians and then the church, and may it happen. I pray it will, brother.
Well, amen, amen. And more than ever, we need a powerful church, a church of conviction, a church of courage, and a church of obedience. And Bert, I've got to give a big shout out, though, to Boundless Grace. I was in Arkansas this weekend, Rogers, Arkansas, Pastor Josh Ramsey. And it was a great weekend. Music by just one of my favorite musical groups to travel with, the Bird Songs out of Tennessee. A lot of people came to the altar, and it was great. The Spirit of the Lord was moving. But Bert, so many people came, some from Missouri, some from several hours away, but people said they love Exploring the Word. They wanted to ask all about you and Jan and Fishbowl. And I just want to say to the people of Northwest Arkansas and all those that came to our event this weekend, God bless you. It was a Holy Spirit weekend, and we give God the glory. And don't we love our fellow witnesses that we meet all around the country?
All around the country. And I know I do things more locally here. You're nationwide, and I go to a few places, different places, but mostly around here in Northeast Mississippi. And even here in this area where AFR is located, and we got a lot of folks. Alex, there are people yesterday at Fredonia Baptist Church. They were saying how much they enjoy Exploring the Word, enjoyed you. They enjoyed you, two or three enjoyed you at Blue Mountain Christian University when you were there a few months ago. And we do praise the Lord for that, because this is what we do. We get into the Word of God. And today Look at chapter 5, and verse 5 is where we'll start, and we'll probably finish Ephesians, I think, this week by Thursday, and then Fireway Friday. That's our goal, and we'll see if we get there. But if we don't, that's all right as well. But listen to this, Alex, verse 5 and following. For this you know, okay? He's saying it to the Ephesians, probably because what? He had already taught them this, and now he is writing, reminding that no fornicator, unclean person, covetous person, or man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Now, Alex, here is a warning. And notice right in the middle of verses 5 through 7, of course, is verse 6, do not let no one deceive you with empty words. Now, Satan will deceive those who are not saved to think, you're all right, you can live anyway. For those who know Christ as Lord and Savior, he does his best to deceive them that, oh, so they won't be on fire for God. Are you really saved? And that's what he does. He is the great deceiver. So when you see the word deceive, I don't care if it's a descriptive word of an individual deceiver or someone who deceives that is doing that, Alex, it is empty words. It is satanic. And here he says, this you know, no fornicator, unclean person, covetous person, idolater is going to inherit, but don't be deceived. In other words, don't you believe otherwise. You know, I think that's what he's saying. They have no part in this kingdom that Jesus has gone to prepare for us.
Do you remember that song, We've a Story to Tell to the Nations?
Oh, yes, yes.
I always liked that when I was just first heard it. It's kind of a marching tempo, but it talks about a kingdom of love and light. Now, there in the end of verse 6, it talks about the wrath of God on the sons of disobedience. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:5 says that we are to be sons of light, and we do not belong to the night or to the darkness, but we are sons of the day and sons of light, L-I-G-H-T, if you're a born-again believer. And so we don't, listen, the family heading that we're under, we don't want to be sons of disobedience. But one thing that I want to point out, the idea of false teaching and people leading others astray, it's nothing new. I mean, this is the New Testament, and Paul is saying in verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, or in other words, empty words, and don't be partakers, and don't be misled. And folks, the way that you, I think, do your best to inoculate yourself against false teaching is to know the truth, which is the Word of God. But let me just momentarily go back to Jeremiah in the Old Testament, Jeremiah 14, which is interesting. You know, God tells Jeremiah, tell the people, hey, don't even pray. They love to wander. They've not refrained their feet from evil. So don't even pray for this people. But it goes on in verse 14 of Jeremiah 14. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I did not send them, neither have I commanded them, neither I spoke to them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, an empty thing of nothing, and the deceit of their heart. And Bert, let me just say, false teaching existed before Christ. False teaching existed in the early church, and there's still false teaching today. And so, folks, and I'm not necessarily saying believe Alex and Bert. What I am saying is believe the Word of God. There is one God. There is one Savior. There is one plan of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is one revealed moral code. Not only is it in the Word of God, but it's written on every heart. We actually do know right from wrong. And Bert, one of the things that I think every sincere seeker of truth, and certainly every born-again Christian must do, we need to stick to God's revelation, not man's imagination. And we need to watch out for false teaching. then and now.
And let me just share with you, false teaching, you always center on Jesus Christ. What do they say about Jesus? What he did, what he said, where he is, what he's going to do, always center on Jesus. And that is the key. And you want to find that, you start with that. Then you'll find out what they say. If they are not right on Jesus Christ and who he is, the Word of God and what it says, they'll lead you astray. And here they call it darkness. Now, again, if you're preaching just one sermon on chapter 5, you want to talk about the walk, because in verse 2, it's the walk in love. Verse 8 that we're just getting to is walk in the light. That's what we're talking about today, walking in the light that God's given you that overcomes darkness. And then in verse 15, it says walk carefully. So your walk, what he means by that, your Christian life, the direction you're going, one step at a time. And listen, it is a path that God has laid out for you, and you're to walk in that. And when you do, let me see, therefore do not be partakers with them. That word with, don't agree with them. Yes, we want unity. We desire that. But when someone goes off track concerning truth about Jesus Christ, about his church, about the Word of God and what it teaches, no, we don't go with them. We stay the course. We stay the course. And again, that's what he says, do not be partakers with them. And Alex, it says this, for you were once in darkness, but now you're light in the Lord, walk as children of light. In other words, don't you think he's talking about these people that are being deceived, the fornicators, the unclean person, the covetous, the idolater? They're in darkness, and he says you once were. It makes us think of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, when it gives the whole list of wayward living, and it says, and some were some of you. That's what you once were, but now you've been delivered. So here, not only in Corinthians, but here in Ephesians, Paul is setting it up. We've been changed. You're a new creature in Christ. You're to follow him. And you're to walk in the light as children of light. Let me just say, that's a pretty good title for believers to have. You're children of the light. Alex, I want to be that kind of child. What about you?
Amen. Amen. Always. And, you know, praise God for verse 8, that we might have been in darkness at one time, but we're not anymore. It's a past tense condition. And now we are light in the Lord, walk as children of light. By the way, Galatians 5 is kind of summarized in Ephesians 5:9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Let me hone in for a moment on verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And the word proving there really means like demonstrating. All right, 1 Peter 3:15, be ready to give an answer. 1 Peter 2:15, this is the will of God, that by doing well you will put to silence the arguments of foolish men. Bert, I've said this many times about, you know, living the gospel, not just our words, but our life undeniably models the change that Jesus brings. Here's the thing. We can do apologetics. In other words, we can defend the faith. But actually, we ourselves are an apologetic. In other words, our life should be proof positive of Jesus' power to change people. And in verse 10 there, when we live out the gospel, we are, I guess, living proof of the validity of the gospel message, aren't we?
We are.
At least we should be.
We should be. And notice, it doesn't say talk about the light. It says walk that way. In other words, your life is that apologetic. We'll be back with more right after this break.
Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page, facebook.com/exploringtheword, or email word@afr.net.
Your words give us life that's never ending. Your words give us life that's never ending.
That's why we call this Exploring the Word. It will remain. It is settled in heaven. That brought us in the bumper music with that intro, gave us a little bit about Facebook. And Brent, our great producer, he really works Facebook. How are we doing, Brent, on Facebook?
We have passed 8,500 followers.
Okay.
We are steadily on our way to 9,000.
Okay, which is on the way to 10,000.
Definitely. I'm just going to look past 9,000.
You know, Alex and Bert's going to look to 10,000. We like round numbers, you know.
Right. And so. I know I harp on it a lot, and people are like, well, he's just trying to, you know, there's some kind of benefit in there. There is. Reaching people with the word.
That's
exactly all
right.
I'm in for.
Well,
you know?
And Brent, how long have we done the Facebook? When did we start counting the followers?
Well, of course, the Facebook was here before I came along, and we already had, I think, around 2,000 followers, maybe 1,500, something like that.
Right. And Brent has done a great job, and we appreciate you, brother. We really do. Well, we want to start back looking at this, and I saw something, Alex. Notice what this says. Look at verse 7. We've already recovered it, but do not be partakers with them. Now look at verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Listen, Paul is really letting these Ephesians know that they're not to be a part of this world, and especially Ephesus. Now, we haven't done this very much. Ephesus, let me share, was a wicked, wicked big city. New York, San Francisco, they would not have anything over Ephesus. They were that type. And so here we are right in the middle of that, and people are asking these days, man, it's such a wicked time to be involved in. The church was birthed during this period of time. The church went viral. I want to use that new term.
Yeah.
It's not new anymore, but it's new comparative to this. It went viral during this time. They said they were turning the world upside down. And so, Alex, here it is, and it says, do not, and let me just put it in my vernacular, do not let the world set your agenda. You know? The world should not. We should be on God's agenda, God's timetable, God's roadmap. And that is what he's talking about. Walk in the light. God's got a course for you. Remember what he told Ananias about Paul after Paul has come to be converted? He said, I'm going to show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Some paths and some courses are going to be rougher than others. You remember when Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, you're going to have a rough time. You're probably going to die. This is in chapter 21. You're going to die and so forth. And John went by, and Peter looked at John and said, what about him? And Jesus said, I'm putting this in my vernacular. That's none of your business.
that's pretty much what he said.
Yeah, I've got plans for you, and I've got plans for him. I set the course. So, Alex, I think Paul is saying here, God needs to set our course, and we need to walk in it.
Amen. You know, I've got to say this. I am prone to turn on every light in the house. I don't know why, but I just I turn the lights on, and Angie, she'll often say to me, you know, do you have to turn on every single lamp in the house? And I'll always quote Ephesians 5:11, and it says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But I don't know if that's probably not what that means.
I'm not sure that's even spiritualizing.
Amen. But so anyway, talking about the reality, Paul is calling them to truth, to righteousness, to purity, and to light. He goes on, he says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done in secret. You know, there are some things that are just so evil you just don't want to talk about and don't need to talk about. But verse 13.
And let me say this, and that was in Ephesus. That's the kind of city it was. Corinth was that kind. So this is where they were doing their work for the gospel. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, do you know what the Bible talks about in the last days, that people will be, in Romans 1:30, quote, inventors of evil things? You know, we're living in the internet age, and I know there can be, you know, some good uses of some research and things. Sometimes the internet is like having access to the Library of Congress almost. But there is so much out there, and, you know, talking about things that are too shameful to even talk about. I mean, it does seem like the human race is continually inventing more and more ways of sinning, you know, really. But verse 13 says, all things that are reproved are made manifest. And the word reproved means rejected, means exposed. You know, we are to expose evil and help people be rescued from out of it. All things that are reproved, verse 13, are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Now, what is light? God. God is light. God's revelation is light. The Bible says the entrance of thy words brings light. Bert, I'll just tell you, growing up on the farm, the house was almost 100 years old, had this basement, and it seemed like every time you'd turn on that basement light, roaches and maybe even a mouse or two would run scattering. The light causes bad things to get back. And do you know what? Sometimes in relationships, sometimes in church, and certainly when it comes to false doctrines, the exposure of the light is the pathway to resolution. Now, what is that flashlight of truth to push back the darkness? The Word of God and the truth of the gospel. Bert, I have found that when people are ignorant of the Word of God, they're very vulnerable to false teaching. On the flip side, when they know the Word of God, they not only are immune, or at least more immune, to being misled, but they can help steer others right as well.
Amen. That's why you want to be in a church that preaches the Word of God. It may be a different style. It may be expository. It may be topical. It could be any of those, but they're sharing the Word of God each and every Sunday. And this is so important. You feed upon the Word of God, and then you want to do it, pass it on. That's what Paul told Timothy. He said, Timothy, he said, I've given you what you need. Now you share it with faithful men who are able to teach others also. It's like those, you know, concentric circles, throwing that pebble into that pond, and here's one ripple, here's another one, and that's the way it goes. And so what you get on Sunday morning as the Word of God is proclaimed, it should energize you, and you take that and energize others, and they energize, and this is what it does. That is the light that spreads from one person to another person, from one generation to another generation. Therefore, he says in verse 14, as he gets some scripture, Old Testament scripture, Isaiah, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. That's where the light is. It's in Christ. And I know I say this a lot, Alex, and I'm not going to apologize for it. It's all centered around Jesus Christ. That's the whole idea. When Paul was on his missionary journeys, they'd hear this and they'd hear that. But when it came to Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, all of a sudden some decision had to be made. Many of them would say they'd walk no more. They'd say, we're not going to hear any more of this. Others would say, we want to hear some more, but we're not sure. But some would say, yes, we believe that is Messiah. That's the one we've been waiting upon. If it was Jews, if it was Gentiles, it would say, yes, we want to come in. We want to be a part. So Christ will give you light. Now, Alex, we've talked about this, and I want you to comment on it. You're responsible for the light you receive. To whom is given much, much is required. So those individuals that have been raised in the church, in a godly, God, Bible-preaching church, and they've heard the gospel, they've got AFR radio, and they listen to that some. They listen to the preaching of the word, and they're still not receiving Jesus Christ, listen, that light that you've received, listen, you're responsible to respond to it. So Christ will give you light. Alex, the question is, what are you going to do with the light that's been given you? That's a good question, isn't it?
Well, we often say this, what did you do with the truth you knew?
Yeah.
What What did you do with the truth you knew? Not somebody else, but you. Have you responded to Jesus? How about standing up for truth and influencing others, even getting out of our comfort zone? And, that's verse 14, the verse you quoted that quotes Isaiah 26, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." In verse 15, the word circumspect it means a couple of things, but it means cautiously. But it's also like a compass. I don't know if you had one of those in school. They probably don't even have those anymore. We had this thing in geometry class that was a point on one end and a pencil in the other, and you could scribe a 360-degree circle. And if you held the compass carefully, you could do a perfect circle just about. Well, circumspect means completely around the circle. That's what it means. Now, Bert, what if you did 358 degrees? There'd be a little gap, not a 360-degree circle. In a similar way, what if I've let Jesus be Lord of most of my life?
Ooh.
Is that enough?
He's Lord.
The old gospel song,
yeah.
I surrender some to Jesus. I surrender some. Is that good enough, Bert?
The Bible makes it plain. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. And those that receive him must receive him as he is. He's not going to come in as he's not. And he comes in as Lord. So, Alex, it is all. He is Lord of all. Now, again, when I saved as 12 years old, I didn't have that much in my life. You know, I wasn't driving. I wasn't dating. I had chores at home. I had responsibilities of obeying my mom and dad, doing those chores and all of that. But there's a lot I didn't have. So here's what a lot of folks are doing. They got saved maybe at 12, 13, and they really came to Christ. What you want to do is bring every thought, everything captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Nothing should be left out in the Christian life. There's nothing that you can put on the shelf and say, okay, Lord, I made you Lord of my life when I was 15, but now I'm doing this. I don't want you to be Lord of that. No, he needs to be Lord of all. And Alex, I just want to tell you, I believe that's why in many, many churches we have individuals that are living what we would call defeated Christian lives, because they have not let Jesus be Lord of your work life, your marriage life, your parenting. Listen, raising three sons that were a lot hyper like their daddy, Jan needed a lot of help, and the Holy Spirit of God helped me to, you know, bring myself down a little bit to be that model that they could see. And listen, we need God in our lives, Alex. That's the bottom line. In every area of our life, there's nothing excluded where I do not need God to be Lord of all.
Amen. You know, one of the great verses in verse 16 here, and by the way, I'm going to give the number. We are going to take Bible questions here in just a couple of minutes. And jot this number down, if you would. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We'd love to hear from you. If you've got a Bible question, maybe you want a question or comment on things we've been discussing, or maybe some other Bible question, we are eager to hear from one and all. But verse 16, interesting, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You know, it says, see then that you walk circumspectly. That means totally in every direction, Christ is Lord of your life. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Bert, if you tie 15 and 16, it is foolish to waste the time. It is wise to use the time. Now, the word redemption means, I'm looking at it here in the Greek lexicon, to rescue from loss. Now, think about that. Now, Christ redeemed us. He rescued us from loss. We could not redeem ourselves. We get redeemed, forgiven, saved, born again, converted. Call it what you will. But you get saved by putting your faith in Christ. But do you know what we can do? We can't redeem a soul, but we can redeem the time. In other words, everything we have post-salvation, we can use it well. In our private time, we can grow in the Lord. We pray and read the Bible. In our relationships, we can love people and speak truth and point them toward Jesus. With our skills and abilities, we can be a good steward, and we can learn a skill and pursue a godly career and serve in church and build a family. And Bert, isn't it something, we who have been redeemed by Jesus, whatever time we have on this earth, whether it be a short time or many, many decades, we can redeem the time, live for the Lord, and actually make a difference for eternity. Isn't that exciting?
That is exciting, Alex. And notice he puts the crowning touch on it in verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is.
Amen.
In with your time, with your walk, follow the Lord. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, that you know him as Savior and Lord, that you give him everything, you surrender all to him, not, as Alex said, not some, but all. We pray that you've done that. Now, if you have a Bible question, we'd love to talk with you. That phone number is 888-589-8840.
Hey, man, what are you doing?
I'm just lying here relaxing in a stream. I call it streaming.
Okay, you know that word already has another meaning, right?
AFA Streaming offers free and subscription video content. Titles like By Design, The God Who Speaks, and Asbury Revival, Desperate for More. You'll also find video versions of AFR programs. Visit AFA.net and click on Streaming.
I know darkness is in the world, but that don't mean I gotta kick over my front door and welcome it. Why would we continue to tolerate wickedness at any level? God knows the scope of your access and impact. He knows that. But he does expect you to be his ambassador in your world.
Tune in to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
He is right here where he's always been.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. We will pick up at Ephesians 5, 17, and 18 again tomorrow, but right now we are going to go to calls, and the number is 888-589-8840 if you want to call in with a Bible question. Bert, you ready to pick up the phone with us?
I am, and we got slots open if you want to call, so you can get in the queue, and we'll try to do our answer.
We're going up to Ohio. Matthew in Ohio, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi, Bert and Alex. I'm a big fan of both you guys. You guys are awesome.
To God be the glory.
Yeah, so my question is, I go to a good church. You know, we do they do tons of missions. They feed homeless. They go to prisons. But they don't talk about any of the issues like that you guys do. I mean, they've talked about abortion fairly, but, like, haven't said nothing about Israel, transgenderism, all of that. And I talked to the pastor and talked to the elders. I told him about the letter to American Church, and yeah, I asked if we could show it. And he said he'd watch it, but I haven't heard nothing back. But I'm just wondering, at what point should I look for another church, or should I just keep on? I don't know, should I keep on bringing it up to them, or what are your guys' thoughts on that?
Matthew, there's two ways to look at this. You can be a light with that information yourself and be an individual spokesman concerning abortion, concerning Israel, and feel like, okay, God, this is where you have me. There are people like that. They've stayed in difficult places where it was not as accurate as it should be, but they stayed there as a light. Others that I know, they've pulled out. That's not necessarily false teaching, but Alex, it is weak, you know, and there may be a better word than weak, because listen, those are important issues. And I said, you center on Christ, And part of what you center on Christ is what he said concerning life, what he said concerning marriage, what we know about Israel. So, Matthew, if you feel like you can stay there and be that person and speak to them again and others individually, you can stay. But listen, there may be a time to move on. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, Matthew 28:20, the Great Commission, yes, it says make disciples of all nations. But it also says, this is Jesus talking to the church, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And, you know, brother, you'll have to pray about whether to stay in this church. But I'm just speaking for myself. I wouldn't. And I'll tell you why. Because, look, we're living in a time where if it's like the Edmund Burke quote, all that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. In this day and age, my goodness, if you're a pastor in a pulpit and you don't have the moral courage to get up and denounce anti-Semitism, if you can't preach a sermon for Israel these days, if you can't cry out for life, marriage, morality, if you don't have the moral conviction and sensibilities and courage to get up and use that pulpit for what God designed it for, which is to condemn sin, convict sinners, and help people and a nation be saved, if you're a preacher in 2024 and you're going to play it safe, I mean, what good are you? And I say this as a guy that pastored two churches. I've been around the block a little bit, and I'm only speaking for myself right here. But look, time, you know, we just, in Ephesians 5, it says redeeming the time, 5:16. See, don't waste time, because time is a non-recoverable resource. If you waste money, that's bad, but you can get more money. You cannot get any more time. And with every passing day that America's pulpits are silent, our nation sinks further and further into the abyss of darkness and sin. And I'm going to tell you, it is the silent, play-it-safe preachers that have let us get to where we are, Bert.
I agree. Let me just say this, Matthew. When someone does not hit on those things and they're preaching from the Word of God, they're purposely ignoring them.
Yeah.
Okay? We're not just, okay, those that preach expositorily, they could say, well, we're not there yet. But they are there. It's what Jesus said about a husband and wife. It's what Paul said concerning a reprobate. If they're preaching, they would possibly, probably, purposely avoiding preaching on those, Matthew.
Yeah. Wow. Well, God bless you, and may God give you clear direction and just clear decision-making on your consideration about the church. You know, we're going to go to Cody in Mississippi. Bert, some church members are almost like missionaries in their church.
They are. That's the reason I said that for Matthew. Yeah. I'd want to leave, and God would have to say, no, I want you to stay here because I want you to be the light and to tell truth to these individuals. So, Matthew, we're going to everybody out there, pray for Matthew. And I got a feeling, Alex, we've got dozens, if not hundreds, of people that are in the same boat Matthew's in.
Amen. Cody in Mississippi, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Thank you for all you do. But my question is, this past Sunday, I teach Sunday school, youth Sunday school, and a men's group, but I like getting other opinions. And my question here is, this week, you know, a boy went down, got saved, I don't know, about 10 years old, and, you know, my pastor's father-in-law, and when he came down, you know, he said, you know, God be the glory, you know, he decided to get saved. And not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm not dogmatic about that, but why don't we say this person has decided to follow Christ? And the reason I say that is because at the end of Matthew 28, at the Great Commission, he says, go baptize in the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and making disciples. That's a follower of Christ. And like I witnessed to people at work, and they think that, hey, I've been saved. That's it. That's ball game. But yet, Jesus didn't call us to get saved. He calls us to be a follower. That means this is not the ending point. This is a new starting point. And anyway, I'm going to hang up now. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Cody. Thank you for what you're doing. Great observation. I think you ought to use both terms. You get saved, now you can follow Jesus, and you're to follow Jesus all the way. What's that song? No Turning Back? No, we need to sing
I've
that
song. I've decided
some more.
To follow Jesus.
Yeah, and it is a decision of your heart, of your mind, and your will. No turning back. Cody, right on, man. Alex?
Amen. Well, you know, the Bible does use both terms. I mean, like Romans 10, 9, and 10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. In other words, you will get saved. But then Ephesians 5, 1, where we've been today, be followers of God. So I would say it's both and. It's the event, getting saved, but it's the journey. Amen. Of following Christ thereafter.
And there's joy in the journey. When I got saved as a 12-year-old boy, man, I was excited. I wasn't going to go to hell. I was going to go to heaven. But I want to just tell you what I found out in the journey. I found out Jesus is a friend that stays with you through thick or thin. And I'm glad I got saved, and I'm glad I'm following Christ, Alex. Amen.
Amen. Marianne in Ohio. Marianne, welcome to the program.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I'm reading through the Old Testament and Psalms right now, and I come across a phrase seems to be used in different forms. If you could maybe explain more. David uses it a lot, in calling God his horn of salvation. And then Hannah's prayer in 1 Samuel, she says, "My horn is exalted in the Lord." So that's kind of confusing to me. I wonder if you could elaborate on that.
Okay, Marianne, thank you for your great study. Alex, two things about this, and we'll see if it either way. You know, on the altar, you know, the horn, grabbing hold, and it was kind of like the horn of my salvation, but also declaring clarion of his salvation. But it seems like, you know, the altar, you know, giving it all to the Lord is what I always understood. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, when we think of a horn, we think of, you know, like a ram's horn or something. And no doubt everybody has seen the Jewish shofar, you know, the blowing of the horn. In Psalm 18:2, where it says that the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Boy, Bert, I was just reading Psalm 18:2. I'm wanting you and I to do a show on that.
Amen.
There's a couple of things it means. It means the location or the absolute. Now, what does that mean? When it says the Lord is the horn of my salvation, it can mean one of the corners of the altar, you know, of the Ark of the Covenant, right? The corners that, and the priest sometimes would hold on to the horns of the altar and pray. But really, it means the absolute of my life. What is my salvation, my identity, my security? It's God Almighty, Jesus. He is the absolute of my salvation, the absolute of my life and my purpose. And I believe when in the Old Testament, whether it be Hannah or David in the Psalms, God being the horn of our salvation. Bert, I think like the root of that word means our all in all, our absolute.
Amen.
You see what I mean?
Yeah, dude, he is. And that's what our lesson has been on today. Mm-hmm. You know, all, it's not partial, it is full. One of my heroes is Caleb. I love Caleb.
Oh, yeah.
Giant killer and a mountain climber at 85 years of age. That's a goal I have, okay? And here it was. It says, "I wholly followed the Lord." W-H-O-L-L-Y. He wholly followed the Lord. He wasn't deviated from wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, battling for 5 years, a total of 45 years, and he stayed on target with God. That horn of salvation, I don't mean that old song, but we cannot be moved. But I know it. You can use it, but what it says is what you was talking about, Alex. We're going to stay on. We're going to stay with God. This is our position, and we're going to stick with it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ashley in Texas. Ashley, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hi. Thank you all for taking my call. Can y'all hear me okay?
Yes.
Oh, perfect. Okay, so I have a two-part question. My husband and I cannot seem to come to a understanding of it, but one, we understand that if you don't accept Christ, then you will go to hell. And the second part is, with everything going on in Israel and the Jewish people, which we're completely in support of and praying for, is it our understanding that they, if they don't accept Christ, they will also be going to hell? I mean, I hate saying it, but it's really hard for us to understand. So I'd really appreciate y'all's advice.
Thank you, Ashley. Thank you for calling. Let me just share with you, appreciate you praying for Israel. That's what we're to do. We're doing that. We are praying for God's people, that they will exist, that they will triumph in this battle that they're in. But also, we're praying that they would be saved. Many are saved. Alex, who was it that said right now there's probably more Jewish believers than there ever has been? Praise God for that. But you do not, if you depart from this life, Jewish, Gentile, no matter where, male, female, what, without Christ, you do not go to heaven. That means hell is that destination. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah. Well, I would encourage people to check out the book by Dr. Michael Brown. He's a born-again Jewish man and a great friend, Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus. I mean, it really is the classic book, Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus. And I want to say this, too, that, yes, salvation is through Jesus and Jesus alone. And at the same time, though, we don't know another person's heart. And I really do believe there are a whole lot of Jewish people that do believe in Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah.
Amen.
Maybe than they go public with. Now, but here's the thing. In Acts 17:30, Paul says this, that in times past, God overlooked the ignorance, but now he commends all men everywhere to repent because of the gift of his son, Jesus. That's Acts 17:30. Paul also said in Romans 10, he said, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. Now, and he says they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Bert, I'm going to say this. I don't know another man's heart. I barely know my own. But the way to get saved is by putting your faith in the Son of God who died at Passover on a cross. Our sin debt was paid for by Jesus. And Jew, Gentile, whomever, if we put our trust in Jesus, our sins can be forgiven.
Amen.
Let's go to Tim in Indiana. Tim, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I really appreciate you guys taking my call.
Yeah.
I just got back into church not too long ago, about 8 months, and I grew up in the church, but I feel like I'm having a problem with giving my all. Like, I don't know. I don't understand if I understand or what. I feel like I'm so close, but nothing happens.
Tim, we're running out of time. Let me just share this. Alex, you do as well. One step at a time, Tim. You're looking down the road one step at a time. When God brings something into your mind and one area, Lord, this is yours. One step at a time. We've been talking about walk in the love, walk in the light, walk carefully. Walk is one step at a time. And brother, God will help you have the victory. Alex, go ahead.
Well, yeah, let me encourage you. Read the lyrics of that great old song, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Tim, your standing with God is through Jesus. Your emotions will catch up, but you just consistently walk with the Lord, be in church, and try to grow as a believer. And I'm sure God will give you the assurance that your heart craves.
Tim, I'd love for you to call us back sometime, see how it's going. Everybody, write Tim's name down and let's bombard heaven for him the next 24 hours. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion. and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.